We praise God today. God is so good. And we're going to look at the Word of God today, and the Word of God is good. And today we're going to find ourselves in Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 13. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 17 and 18. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. And I believe that this, that what's on the heart of God today, this word that I believe he has prompted me to share with you today, I believe is an encouragement to all of us as we go along our walk with God. Praise God that God allows us to walk with him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God that God allows us to walk with him. This is going to be an encouragement, I believe, for us. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Let's look at the word of God together. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people of battle through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Our title today is "When the Journey Seems Too Long."
Amen.
Amen. When the journey seems too long. We praise God that he allows us to walk with him. Amen.
Amen.
God doesn't just let anybody walk with him.
That's true.
But only those who are called by his name.
Yes.
Amen. He is our shepherd. Amen. We are the sheep of his pasture. And he leads us. He allows us to walk with him. But if you walk with God, and you are privileged enough to walk with God because you are called by his name, there are times along the way when the journey just seems too long. God's taking you somewhere. He promised you something. He showed you something in his word. The Spirit of God spoke something to your heart. You believe it and you trust in it. You've been confessing it and praying it. You've been testifying about it. You've been standing on it. And you still don't have it. And it seems like you should have been there by now. Anybody ever walk with God and feel you should be further down the road than you are right now?
Amen.
I've been at this thing long enough, Lord. This has been too long. And God has a word of encouragement for us today at times like that. Amen. And it sounds like some of us are at that time right about now.
Amen.
That we can stand up in the sanctuary and say, "Lord, this is taking too long."
Yeah.
Joseph, when he was a kid, he would sometimes mess up the words. And for some reason, he didn't say, "This is taking too long." He put a C in front of it. He said, "This is caking too long." And so we joked about that even as he grew into a young man. You know, sometimes we'd be in traffic and we would just go, "This is caking too long." But that's how he said it when he was a little boy. It was caking too long. And so whether it's caking or taking, it's up to you, amen. But we can agree on something, amen. It seems too long. And God wants to encourage us today as we go along with him in times like that. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture again and just allow God to have his way. Father, we bless you now, and we thank you, and we give you praise because you are our God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. We thank you, God, you're a God of purpose. We are here today for a reason. Father, we're here because you have something to say unto us.
Yes.
And that you desire for us to be transformed as our mind is renewed by the power of your word and by your spirit. So, Father, we're praying right now that your will be done right here in this place on earth, just as it's done up in heaven, perfectly, completely, O God. Let your will be done. Father God, we submit to you now. We yield to your voice. And we're praying, God, that you will break forth the bread of life. Nourish us in our spirit. Strengthen us in our inner man.
Yes,
and Father, let us leave this place better than the way we came in. And Father, we're believing and trusting on you to do that. So we thank you by faith in the Son of God. Father, I ask you now to look upon me, strengthen me from top to bottom. And Father God, I decrease, pray that you increase. That your people will be blessed and you, God, will be glorified.
Yes.
Father, we bless you, we thank you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When the journey seems too long, let's look at the scripture again. Exodus 13, 17 through 18. Verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Amen. God's people, amen, have been in bondage for 400 years.
Yeah.
We talk about the Exodus and how God delivered them, amen, the night of the Passover, right? And the angel of death came and didn't see the blood on the doorpost, amen. The firstborn in that household was killed. But God said, but if I see the blood, amen, I will pass over that house. But that Exodus was preceded by 430 years of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, though. God had told Abraham, that your seed, your descendants, will be slaves in the land that's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Abraham, and they will be slaves for 400 years. But he also said to Abraham that, but they will come out with great substance.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be slaves for 400 years, but they're going to come out with great substance. And we know the story. God's word came true. Why? Because anything God says must come to pass.
Yes.
And so God's word came true, and you know, Joseph had gone down to Egypt because his brothers had got jealous of him, sold him into slavery, and God, his providence, worked things out with God. Joseph ends up in Egypt, and he becomes second in command to Pharaoh, and you know, he's highly esteemed in the society, and he established himself there, and the famine was in the land, and Joseph's brothers and his family had to come down to Egypt in order to be saved. And God had, even Joseph said, listen, you threw me into the pit and you sold me into slavery and you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good, to save much people alive as it is this day. And so he was there in Egypt when the famine hits. His brothers come down and now they're able to find provision, and the family moves to Egypt. And Pharaoh gives them land, and they have a place to live and to grow. But then Joseph died. And Pharaoh died. And his successor was like, I don't know what happened before I got here, but these Israelites, these Hebrews, it's too many of them. They're about to take over this land. And so he put them into slavery. And they were greatly afflicted. Yeah. And the Bible says that the more the people of God, the more the people of God were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew.
Yes.
Somebody needs to hear that today, amen. Mm-hmm. See, God has an anointing on his people. That the more his people are afflicted, the more they should multiply and grow. Some of us are praying for things to go away out of our lives that God designs to multiply you and increase you by that thing. God designs for you to grow by that thing. But we want the affliction to go away. The psalmist said, it was good that the Lord afflicted me. There's such a thing as good affliction. There's such a thing as the affliction that helps you multiply and to grow. And so the people of God were in Egypt and they're being afflicted. But the scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 1 that the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. And they still had the promise on their lives that God gave to Abraham. That they're going to be in slavery for 400 years, but they're coming out with great substance.
Yeah.
And when the time appointed came, when the Passover arrives, and now Pharaoh finally says, you know what? I'm letting the people go. The Bible says that the people spoiled the Egyptians. Right? They spoiled the Egyptians. And if you read it in the Amplified Version, it says that they stripped them. Uh-huh. Stripped them of their wealth. So here these slaves leave the land, and they leave with great substance. Uh-huh. These slaves who have been afflicted for 400 years still left with great substance. Why? Because the promise of God was there that, yes, they're going to be in bondage, but at the end of it, they're going to come out the greater.
Yes.
The greater is always a part of God's plan for your life.
Amen.
You're going through something right now, but God has put on you something called the greater. You're going to come out with great substance. They came out the greater. Yeah, you afflict me, but I'm going to multiply and grow.
Amen.
Why? Because I have an anointing on my life that I must turn out the greater.
Yes, 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 sir.
I'm going to be greater than this.
Uh-huh.
And see what it said? It said they came out with great substance. And yes, they came out with stuff. They came out with jewelry and with linens and with clothes and things like that. They came out with stuff. But how many of you know there's a substance that's not tangible?
Exactly.
See, there's a substance that's just something that's inside of you. Mm-hmm. See, how many of you know you can be a person of substance?
Yes.
There's some people, amen, they're just on the surface. They have no substance.
That's true.
They talk a good game, but they have no substance. Give me somebody who got substance, amen. And give me somebody who I can rely upon. Give me somebody whose word, amen, they keep their word. Somebody who has some integrity. I need people around me who got some substance.
Amen.
But also too, I want to be a person of substance. See, and so when God said, listen, they're going to come out with great substance, I want you to know that's on your life and my life too. Some of the things you're going through is because God wants to make you into a man or woman of substance.
Yeah.
He wants to make you into a man or woman that someone looks at and says, I want to be like them. Mm-hmm. Then he wants to make you a man or woman of substance that shows forth his glory to this lost and dying world. That amidst all the people who stand around and promote themselves, they're blogging and they got websites, but they don't have no business. They got business cards, but they don't have no papers filed with the state. Amen. They're every everybody pumping themselves up, but they have no substance.
That's right.
Amidst all of that, God wants you to stand out. We are peculiar people. Yes. We stand out. Why? Because we have substance.
Yes.
And how do you get that substance? Well, how did the people of God get the substance here? They had to go through some stuff.
Yes, they did.
400 years of slavery in exchange for some substance. Mm. See, some of us don't want to make that exchange, amen. Lord, just give me the substance. Lord, I want the shortcut. But somebody needs to know there's no shortcut with God.
That's right.
If he's going to put something in you, then you're going to come out with great substance. And listen, it's not going to come through some shortcut.
Amen.
You're going to have to go through it, amen?
Yeah.
You're going to have to go through that affliction, amen? Stand faithful with God and grow and multiply. So God said this to Abraham, amen? And he kept his promise, amen? And so now, here they are. They now have been freed from Pharaoh. We get to Exodus 13. They're free from Pharaoh. It says in verse 17 of Exodus 13 that when Pharaoh had let them go, it said that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Mm-hmm. I like this part. Although that was near. See, God could have taken them a shorter way.
Yes.
God could have taken them a more direct way.
Yes.
It was closer. It was right there. And it said, God didn't take them that way. How many of you know, God doesn't always take the easy way out?
That's true.
You know that to be true, amen.
Yeah.
God made you go through some stuff, even though you knew it was a shorter way. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it was a shorter way. But see, sometimes short is not better.
That's right.
And God knows what's better for us. In fact, he knows what's best for us. There was a shorter way. The route to the promised land was nearer than where God took them. But God took them the longer way. He took them the harder route. And see, here's the problem, though. Understand them. Why do you have to go through the hard stuff? You ever said that, Lord? Why does it have to be so hard all the time? You ever said that? You going through some stuff? Why does it have to be so hard all the time?
Yeah.
And we know that's an exaggeration because it ain't hard all the time. But see, when your emotions are flared up, you don't care about being accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
You just be saying stuff. It's hard all the time. Last couple of weeks been the easiest 2 weeks of your life, but now the minute it turned back, it's hard all the time. Right? I never catch a break. But you caught breaks, amen. God's been giving you breaks left and right. But you know when you know how we get. We exaggerate, amen. We just like the disciples, amen. Jesus said, you feed them, you know. And they start going about how much money they need and all this stuff. And see, we start just getting carried away like that. I don't ever catch a break. This is kicking. He didn't take them the shorter way. He didn't take them where it was closer, where it was nearer, where it was easier. But we have to understand something. Here's a mistake I believe we make. We believe that the blessing is easier than the time waiting for the blessing. And so that's why we just want the blessing. Lord, just bless me. I'm ready. And we go through some stuff as we wait for the blessing to come. And we say, man, this is hard. But I want you to know, and God wants you to know even more, that the getting the blessing and holding on to the blessing is harder than waiting for the blessing. Mm. not just making that up. I'll show you something in Scripture to prove the point. I can say something. Who cares what I say? Amen. Let's see what God says.
Amen.
Let's go to Joshua chapter 12. This is just an example of something, but it's so it's such a good illustration for us to keep in mind of when the fighting really begins.
Yeah.
Even when you're in your affliction and you think, man, this is hard. Let me tell you something. On the other side is greater, and that's when it really gets harder and hotter in the kitchen.
That's right. That's right.
Let me tell you this, amen. The devil is not so much concerned with you until you start to realize who you are in God.
That's true. That is so true.
When you realize there's a call on your life, then the devil's going to make some noise in your life, try to get you off your course and everything else. But when you go through that and you arrive, I remember years and years ago, I don't know if people still say it now in the church, but they used to say, what? New levels, new devils.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Because, and there's a truth to that. That the higher you go,
true,
you're going to start facing more opposition then.
That's right.
Of a different quality and a different character.
Mm.
Mm. Well, let's look at Joshua chapter 12 for a second. Let's look at verse number 1. It says, now these are the kings of the land, which the children of Israel smote. Smoke means that they defeated them, amen. We don't use words like smoke. And possessed their land on the other side, Jordan, toward the rising of the sun. Let's go down to verse 2. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon. Let's go down to verse 4. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants.
Mm-hmm.
So, When the people of God were on the east side of the Jordan,
mm-hmm,
before they crossed the Jordan, mm-hmm, while they were still in the wilderness,
yeah,
they had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They fought Sihon, king of the Amorites,
mm-hmm,
and defeated him, mm-hmm, and they fought the king of Bashan, and defeated him. While they were in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Then the day came after the 40 years of wandering that God allowed them to go across the Jordan River.
Yeah.
And how many of you know the Jordan River, right? It's the divide. It's the thing that keeps you wilderness on one side, promised land on the other side.
Yeah.
Symbolically, amen, we all got a Jordan in our life, amen.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
right now you're going through some stuff. The promise is on the other side of your Jordan.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for the day that God will stop up the banks of the Jordan and allow you to walk over into your promise. And
yeah,
you're praying and you're fasting. Lord, I'm just praying for that day that I can cross the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, on this side of the Jordan, you're going through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what you're going through. You're fighting Og and Sihon.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And now God says, you can cross the Jordan. Come on over. And you say, yes, I'm walking into my promise.
Hmm.
Yeah. And when you walk into your promise, it takes us down to verse 9. Because when they got on the other side of Jordan, let's see who they had to fight now.
Yes.
The king of Jericho won.
Uh-huh.
The king of Ai won. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Eglon won. The king of Gezer won. The king of Tabea won. The king of Gera won. The king of Horma won. The king of Aram won. The king of Libna won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Makeda won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Petua won. The king of Hepher won. The king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shemar Meron won. The king of Exath won. The king of Tanakh won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jotni won. The king of Dor won. The king of the nation of Gilgal won. The king of Tirzah won. All the kings, 30 and 1.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
If you think you're fighting now.
Huh. That's right. That's right. preach it.
Wait until you cross the Jordan and get into your promise.
Yes. Preach it.
Oh my.
Preach it.
If you think you're fighting now.
Yeah.
Wait until you cross your Jordan and get into your promise.
Yes. Yes.
God says, if the footmen weary you, how can you contend with horses? Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Right now, footmen are wearying you out.
Yes.
And in the promised land, you got to run with the horses. And it's because of this. It's because of this truth that your greatest fighting is not in the waiting for your blessing. It's once you lay hold of your blessing. Because once you lay hold of it, the devil unleashes all of hell to try to take it from you.
That's right. That's right.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Why? Because the devil is trying to keep stuff from you once you get it. But listen, while you're on this side, he just trying to discourage you. He'll send two things your way.
That's right.
And some of us are getting defeated on the other side of Jordan. And yet we're praying and fasting, Lord, bless me. And God said, you don't know what you're asking for.
Exactly.
Because on the other side of Jordan is when the fight really begins. So we go back to Exodus chapter 13. And it says that God didn't lead them to the land of the Philistines.
Nope.
Why? Because the Philistines were some people of war.
Uh-huh.
They were some stronger people.
Uh-huh.
And these Israelites just came out, and they came out with some great substance, but they still needed some building up.
Uh-huh.
So although that was nearer, although that was closer, although that was a more direct route to the blessing, God said, I ain't taking you that way. Why? Because there's some people right there you can't deal with.
Oh, God.
There are some things that you think, God, if I can just go this way, I can do it. If I can just do this, if I can just do that, God said, oh, I ain't taking you that way. Why? Because there's some stuff over there you can't see.
Yes.
See, God sees around every corner.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. He sees things we can't see, and he knows there's some stuff up there you can't deal with. I ain't taking you that way.
Jesus.
I'm going to take you the long way. And God even explains why. It said, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He said, if I take you the way you want to go, somebody needs to hear this. If I take you the way that you want to go, the way you keep telling me every morning, you know, you telling God how God's supposed to bless you. God, if you would just do this. And God says, if I took you the way you want to go, you would change your mind and change your direction. You would stop walking with me. You would stop walking. If I took you the way you want to go, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the world?
Yeah.
If I took you the way you want to go, you would face opposition and things that would make you repent. What's repent? It's a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. You won't even just change your mind, you change your direction. And this is how bad you would change your direction.
Wow.
You would want to return to Egypt. Egypt is symbolic of your old life. Egypt is symbolic of your life of bondage. Here you are walking with the Prince of Peace. Here you are walking with the God that freed you and gave you your salvation. And God said, if I took you the way you want to go, you would stop following me and return to your life of bondage. There are some people, amen, who started walking with God, and they wanted to get to where they were going too fast. Somebody needs to slow down, amen. Somebody trying to get there too fast.
Oh, Jesus.
And you wonder why. How can somebody stop going to church? How can somebody stop believing in God? Because they started walking with God, but they wanted to get somewhere too fast. They wanted to take the shortcut. And they ran into some Philistines that they weren't ready to deal with. And they said, this is too hard. I'm out of here. And they walked away. That doesn't happen. It happened to Jesus. It said that some people grew offended at what Jesus said, and from that day forward, they walked with him no more.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And so why does God take you the long way? Because you can't deal with them Philistines yet. You can't deal with them yet. And if God allowed you to deal with them, you wouldn't be in church right now. You wouldn't be hearing me right now if God did it the way you wanted it done, because you would have gave up on him by now. But see, but God took you the long way. He took the children of Israel the long way, and he let them see something. He let them see Pharaoh chasing them. He let them see Moses lifting up his rod and the Red Sea parting, and they walk over on dry land. He let them see the Red Sea come crashing down on the chariots and on the horsemen and wipe them out. He let them see that. He let them see, amen, that he sent manna from heaven. He let them see, amen, that he made water come from a rock. He let them see, amen, that he was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He let them see that.
Yeah.
And he let them see that to the point where what was happening? They were becoming people of substance.
Wow. Yeah.
They were becoming people who understood God is faithful.
Yeah.
They became people who said, when I was thirsty, God gave me water.
Yeah.
Because he's a miracle working God. Amen. But I walked around in the same shoes for 40 years and they never wore out. This God we serve was amazing. See, he allowed them to see that. He allowed them to see that. Listen, if we want some meat, I'll send you quail until it comes out your nostrils. Amen. And they had quail and they had meat. But see, if they would have taken the shorter route, they wouldn't have seen that stuff.
That's right.
And now when they got over to the other side, and the people of Ai came out and said, they would have started running. But because they walked with God and developed a trust in God, and they understood that our God is a miracle-working God, what other God can make a river of water gush from out of a rock? What other God can send bread from heaven every morning? Yes. What other God can do the things that our God can do? And so now when we cross the Jordan, I walk over that Jordan with a deeper trust and belief in God. So now when those other enemies start coming, I say, bring it on, because the God of my salvation is with me.
Yes, yes.
But if you would have taken the shorter route, you would not have that foundation in your soul. So he let, I gotta take you this way. I gotta take you the long way so that you begin to know and to trust and to believe on me. Because where I'm taking you, you're going to have to fight.
Yes.
Look at what God says. And don't miss this part in verse 17. He didn't take him the way that was near. And he explained why. Mm-hmm. He said, lest peradventure. We don't say that. But unless, right? If I took you that way, the people would repent. And look at these words. When they see war. Understand, God uses words very carefully. Amen. When they see war. Not if. When. How many of you know, if you're walking with God, can I tell you something? You will see war.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And if you don't want to see war, then you can't walk with God.
Yes.
You will see war. You will see spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
If you're going to walk with God. Why? Because the devil hates God and he hates the people of God.
That's right.
And he's going to come against God, and the way he comes against God is through coming through his people. He comes against them. Exodus 15 and 13. No, I'm sorry. Exodus 15 and 3. In the song of Moses, Moses sang this in verse 3. He said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." Now, I know God is kind and gracious and gentle and sweet to you. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But understand, Jesus also rides on a horse, amen. Yeah. And he has a sword, a double-edged sword too, amen. Our God is a man of war, which means what? He knows how to fight.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a battle of good against evil. Mm-hmm. Our God is a man of war. So if you walk with God, you're walking with a man of war. Which means you will see war. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through some stuff. And God doesn't want you to peel off and go back. Mm-hmm. Because his plan for you is going to come to pass. We had the scripture today. God is not a man that he should lie.
Yeah.
Nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Yes.
The things that God has spoken to you, he's going to do.
Amen.
And I know right now the journey seems like it's too long, but God is building something in you that cannot be built any other way.
Amen.
You have to go that way.
Amen.
If you don't go that way, you may change your mind and stop following God. Because something is coming. You are going to see war.
Yes.
Now here's the thing. We're going to close. We're getting out of here. What does God expect you to do when you see the war? And this is the thing that is so vital, amen. And we are people that have emotions and feelings and thoughts and all those things, right? Our soul, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul. Our spirit's on God's side. Our flesh is doing what the devil wants it to do and what it wants to do. And the deciding factor is what our soul does. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Because see, as your soul prospers, you win. 2-1, amen? But your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, this is what happened when the war comes. You see what happened? When the children of Israel left the Red Sea and they saw Pharaoh coming, they immediately got all emotional.
Uh-huh.
There was no graves in Egypt. I told you, Moses, you shouldn't have brought us out here.
Wow.
Even Moses was crying. How do you know? Because God said to him, "What are you crying to me for?" We don't hear Moses crying, but we hear God telling him, "What are you crying to me for?" And when Moses finally got it, in fact, we're right in Exodus, so you can just look right there. Amen. In verse 12, when they saw him, they thought, "Did we not tell you in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians?" See, when you get emotional, you start saying some stuff that don't make any sense. "I knew we should have stayed in the hood." God done brought you out. And you are... God done gave you a good man. You're like, "I knew I should have stayed with Tyrone." Then when you get to an argument with your husband, right? "I should have stayed with Tyrone."
He is too much.
I apologize, amen. I ain't talking about you. So watch your name say,
amen.
Right? I knew we should have stayed here. It would have been better for us. And Moses told the people, look what he said. He told them, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Amen. I was in Exodus 14, verse 13. Amen. I heard you turning page. Amen. Exodus 14, and I was just reading verse 13. So Moses told him, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. But what he told him? He said, listen, you can't get emotional. Don't be afraid. We had our men's meeting on Friday, and in the discussion, he said, you can't be afraid. You can't have fear and faith. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can't have fear and faith. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And see, where do you get to that point where when the Egyptians are breathing down your back, come on somebody, when the bill collector is ringing your phone, when the boss is telling you that layoffs are coming, when the husband says, I'm going to see the lawyer today because I had enough.
Jesus.
How do you get to the point where your reaction is not emotional, where you can fear not and stand still? Mm-hmm. See, the only way you get that point is that you take a journey that you thought was too long, but in the process, God allowed you to understand he's the God that sends manna. He's the God that brings water in the desert. He's the God that does the miraculous. He's the God that protects you. And so in the middle when that thing comes, when your mind wants to go crazy, you stand still.
Jesus.
How do you get to that point? Because you walked with God long enough.
Yes.
Where you said, I can't win this thing. Amen. The biggest battle you have to fight is to not roll up your sleeves and try to fight. And see, the problem that we make too often is we try to fight.
Yes.
You try to get your husband to do what you want him to do by trying to withhold.
You didn't say that.
I did so. I ain't cooking tonight. I ain't coming home. I'm going shopping. I'm not saying nothing. I'm sleeping all the way in the edge of the bed, and I'm not moving. I ain't going to let your feet touch me. When your feet touch me, I'm going to move. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. See, you're fighting with these. Husband, you fight with these. You try to tell your wife what to do. Hey, like, you the king of this jungle, and you're going to try to cover it with some scripture.
Lord Jesus. Oh, no.
The head of the woman is man, and the head of man is Christ. Where's my dinner? Trying to cover your fleshly self with some scripture.
Oh my.
You're trying to fight with these. Trying to fight with these. Every time you're trying to take it upon yourself to right somebody who done you wrong, you're trying to fight with these. And see, the biggest thing is you got to learn, and you only learn to walk with God who shows himself faithful as a God who fights for you, is that you get to the point where you realize it takes more strength to stand still than to throw up your hand.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It took more strength for Jesus to say, I'm staying up here. He said, if I wanted to, I would call legions of angels to get me down from here.
Yes.
How many of you know it's when you can do something and you refrain from doing it, that takes more strength than actually just doing it.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Whenever Father in your being is saying, I need to come over there and do something, but you don't. That takes some strength. Wow. And that kind of strength only comes from being around a God who you learn to trust to fight your battles for you. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. Don't mean you're not a participant, but it means you don't have to be throwing up your dukes. Amen?
Amen.
Be still. And how many of you know, being still sometimes is the hardest thing to do. Mm-hmm. When the enemy's coming up on you, and you be still. When people are talking about you and lying about you and posting stuff on Facebook about, be still. Mm. I'm about to put them on blast. But God is saying, be still. But how do you get to that point where you can do that? You have to walk long enough with God. Yeah, it seems like it's too long. But the way you get to the point where you trust God to do something and you're not in a hurry. See, I can always tell somebody who's been walking with God for a long time, they ain't in a rush.
Wow.
They ain't in a rush for things to turn around. They have a quiet confidence about themselves that they know this is going to work out. See, that person's been walking with God long enough. Why? Because they've seen some stuff. They've seen the miracles.
Yeah.
They've seen the manna. They've seen the water. They've seen the parted sea. They've seen things. They've seen the God who makes the sun stand still. Mm. I'm supposed to now jump. Are you telling me layoffs are coming? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been too long. But keep walking with him. Wow. Go through that affliction. Why? Because God is making you a man or woman of substance. Go through those tests and those trials, amen. Because God is multiplying you and increasing you, and you're growing, amen.
Yeah.
As you go through that. And understand that as long as you're waiting for your promise, you're on the east side of the Jordan River where you got a couple of skirmishes, but oh, you better be ready when you finally cross over into the promise.
Yes.
Don't be such in a rush to get over there until you know God has put something of substance on the inside of you. And that's what's going on right now. So embrace your journey as long as it's taken. And remind yourself, God is making me a man or woman of substance.
Yes,
He's making me into a man or woman who can shout out, I shall not be moved. Amen.
Yes.
He's making me into a man or woman of God who can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Who's not going to be fighting and talking about people and cursing and moaning and groaning and complaining. But understand, this is part of my journey. And yes, if it was up to me, it would have been shorter. But thank God you didn't make it shorter. Because if you did, I probably would have turned around and got on up out of here.
Yes.
But I'm here because of this journey. Have your way, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So when the journey seems too long, God's saying unto all of us, remind yourself of what he's doing. And tell yourself, I'm growing day by day into a man or woman of great substance.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You're going to be able to stand flat-footed. Amen. And see the salvation of God. And when that appointed day comes, glory to God, because it's coming.
Yes.
when you walk into your promise, you're going to be ready for every enemy. Mm-hmm. Amen. That hell tries to throw your way. Amen. Yeah. Everything will try to get you off your course, and you will not be moved. That does not happen by accident. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we close, amen, I just want to read a verse in your scripture. Just one verse. I'm going to ask you to write down the verse. And then you can look at it on your way home. No, not on your way home. But you can look at it on your way home if you're a passenger. You're not a passenger. Yes. No, wait till you get home. Well, look at it at the surface. Amen. Amen. But the scripture is this. Write this down. It's Isaiah 30, verse number 15. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning," and when he says returning, he means returning to me, "in returning and rest shall ye be saved." You see that?
Yeah.
See, it's in returning. It's in being with God and resting in God that you and I are saved. And then he says this, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Our strength is not in all the activity and the words and the movement and the motion. Amen. No. Our strength is in quietness and confidence.
Wow.
Yeah, they're coming up against me, but I'm not going to be moved. I'm quiet. Why? Because see, in my quietness, I can hear God.
Jesus.
Be still and know that I am God. The Lord is in this temple. Let all the earth be silent for Him.
Jesus.
Because some of us making so much noise. Say. My wife sometimes tells me, "You don't talk." And funny, you know, I don't talk a lot. Yeah, right. You're there an hour every Sunday. But when I'm around people and me, I don't talk. At party, I don't talk. Why? The people want to talk, and I talk enough. But here's the one thing. I try especially not to talk when I believe I'll say the wrong stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, when I'm going through some things and it's hard, the temptation to start saying stuff is so great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so hard to say, "Man, this thing ain't working. I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that, and quietness and confidence is your strength. Amen?
Amen.
But how do we get there? Because we take our journey with God, and He builds us into people of substance. Amen.
Amen.
That is what God is doing with you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you take that and say, "This is what's going on in my life," you'll go through your affliction, you'll go through your trials, you'll go through your tribulation, knowing that the greater is on your life, and you're going to come out the better for it.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 You're going to come out the better for it. Amen. Let's stand and pray today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you. Glory to God for the word you've shared with us today, the encouragement, the strength. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith has been reignited today, God. Our faith is growing by leaps and bounds because of the word of God. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, God, that we are your people. We thank you, God, that we have a blessing and an anointing on our lives for greater. We thank you, God, that the more this world and others try to afflict us, oh God, we multiply and we grow.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, that of how you have made us and formed us and fashioned us, God. We are not like the world, but we are your peculiar people. And we thank you, God, that you know the way in which we should go.
Yes.
And Father God, you're showing us and you're teaching us and you're molding us and you're shaping us and you're strengthening us, oh God, to be made in your image, to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, though the journey sometimes seems like it's too long, Father, we are so grateful that you did not take us through the shortcut. We are
yes.
so grateful that you didn't take us the easy route. We are
yes.
so grateful, oh God, that you took us the long way, because your way is the right way, God. And you are building something in us that could be built no other way.
Yes.
And so, God, we're grateful. And we're grateful, God, that yet the promise awaits us. And Father God, we shall lay hold of the promise. We shall defeat every enemy in our pathway, O God.
Yes.
And not because of our fighting, but because, Lord, we allow you to fight our battles
yes.
while we stand still yes. in faith. And Father, we thank you for it. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that you will continue to minister unto your people, all of us, this word of God that you've spoken today.
Yes.
Father, we've spent far too much time fighting against people, fighting
yes.
against circumstances,
yes.
fighting against things real and imagined. Father God, help us to be still and know that you are
yes.
God. Help us, oh God, to see the salvation of the Lord. Father, we give you the praise and the glory, God, because you have a plan for us that includes things that eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things that you have prepared for us. Father, it's our desire to come into your perfect plan for
yes.
our lives. And so, Father, we repent.
Yes.
We repent from all the times we've taken it upon ourselves. And we set ourselves on this day
to
look to you, O God. I will lift up my eyes, the psalmist said, to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord who fights for me. The Lord who fights my battles.
Yes.
And God, we thank you that we stand here today, victorious people of substance, as we simply look to you
yes.
to be our awesome God. Father, we love you today and we give
yes.
you all the praise. In Jesus'
name.
Amen.